Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Emma McAdam, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is the podcast where I condense mental health skills into bite-sized nuggets of help. If you're ready to learn more in-depth mental health skills, check out my online courses on anxiety, coping skills, and how to change your brain, 10 alternatives to medication to improve mental health. The link is in the description. You can use the code NUTSHELL for 25% off. Hi everyone, I'm Emma McAdam. Today we're going to talk about self-esteem. So self-esteem is important, but a lot of people struggle to have a healthy sense of their own identity. The question, am I good enough, seems to impact everyone, myself included. I've been thinking about this a lot, especially since editing the video of me hiking with my girls when I say, you feel like you're never good enough because no one is. And I kind of regret saying that. Like, what I meant by that is that no one's able to be perfect or to 100% protect their kids from being hurt by, you know, their own weaknesses as a parent. But I don't mean or I don't think that we should run around feeling bad about ourselves or that we should endlessly beat ourselves up or treat ourselves with harshness or hatred, because all of that makes us less productive and more hateful, and it can even make you depressed. I've got a sign up on my fridge that says, how you treat yourself equals how you treat your kids equals how they treat others. So I really feel like it's important that we don't spend our time being harsh towards ourselves or beat ourselves up. But on the other hand, I'm gonna be honest, I don't really care for the self-esteem movement. And the basic idea is that you need to spend a lot of time thinking nice things about yourself, or spending time every day saying nice things to yourself, or making lists of all your good attributes. Now, I do think that how we treat ourselves really does matter. It's really important. And we should be honest both about our strengths and our weaknesses. But I've seen self-esteem get turned into fake accomplishments and medals and prideful comparisons and sometimes even just practices that don't work. Like, for example, it's never worked for me to just like sit in front of the mirror and say nice things to myself. It just didn't answer the question that I was asking, which was, how can I evaluate? How can I know if I'm living well? So in this video, I'm going to talk about four sources of self-esteem that will always let you down, and one approach to thinking about evaluating yourself that has actually helped me become more at peace. Self-esteem means how we esteem ourselves, how we see ourselves. It's what we use to determine whether we are worthy or good or worthwhile. And I think that our worth is not changeable, that we're always worthy of love, that we're divine beings who have an inherent divinity, an inherent goodness that never changes, no matter whether we make big mistakes, whether we're, you know, acting one way or acting another way, that our worth doesn't change. But I do think how we evaluate ourselves matters, how we determine if our lives are lined up with the path we want to be on and how, you know, whether we feel good about ourselves. So let's talk about the first source of false self-esteem, which is appearance. So in my work with youth, a lot of times when we ask them, what do you like about yourselves? They often answer with things like, I like my hair, or I have a nice butt. And they aren't usually expressing appreciation for the gift and the wonder of their body, but rather they're feeling like good about themselves because others approve of them, or because they meet the cultural standards of beauty. And when we think we're worthwhile because we're pretty or skinny or attractive to others, or because you're wearing the right clothes, it may feel validating for a while, but in the long run, basing your worth on your appearance will always let you down. Because there will be times in your life that you aren't pretty, and you'll age, and, you know, other stuff will come up. It's perfectly fine to be beautiful and to use that as a part of your personal power or your skill set, but basing your self-worth or your self-evaluation on appearance is really all about being more than someone else, or being liked by someone else, or being judged by someone else. Basing your worth on appearance gives away your personal power to others who may not honor you for your deep inherent goodness. Because your worth and your goodness is so much more than your outside appearance. Okay, now we're going to talk about the second source of false self-esteem, and this is popularity. It always feels good when other people like you, when they approve of what you're doing or they agree with you. But if you base your worth on that, then you'll always feel uncertain because people are fickle. They change their minds and there's always going to be someone who disagrees with us or who mistreats us. By placing our source of worth on others' opinions, we put our worth in other people's control. So if we believe that when they like us, I'm good, when they don't like us, I'm not good enough, then we create this sense of helplessness and anxiety. It's okay to use others' opinions as informative, but not decisive as to your own worthiness and your value, and to whether your life is on the track that you want it to be on. Often our values include how we treat others, like having close connections or being kind, and our relationships really are really important. But they shouldn't be the deciding factor of whether we like ourselves or whether we value the path that our life is on. While we can influence what other people think of us, we can't control it. So basing our self-esteem on what other people think of us is going to create a sense of uncertainty and insecurity, and in the long run, it's probably going to make you pretty anxious. Okay, number three is comparison. So when we use comparison as our source of self-esteem, we often fall into the routine of looking side to side to determine if we're any good. So for example, if I get the highest score out of my classmates, I may feel good about myself. But then if I realize there are other people in my school who are scoring higher than I am, then I'll feel bad about myself. There will always be someone better, smarter, faster, and likewise, someone slower, lesser, or worse when we compare different traits. When we place our worth on comparison, we create enmity between ourselves and others. Comparison basically says, I'm not good or bad based on my choices. I'm good if I'm better than my husband or my neighbor. So that means that I'll be constantly looking to find others' faults, seeking flaws in the people I love the most in order to know if I'm good enough. And when others are perceived as better, then I judge and I shame myself. Comparison and competition will always let us down in the long run. And comparison puts you in a lose-lose situation, because if your worth depends on being better than others, then you're separating yourselves from being able to truly connect with them. Okay, let's talk about the fourth source of false self-esteem. This is achievement. And this one's counterintuitive because many times people place their value on the good things that they do. Making your life about what you've accomplished, whether it's in business or service or family life, this can be a subtle trap. It's not that these things are bad. They're just the destination, not the journey. And if our worth is only on what we've accomplished, then we tend to be unhappy until we've gotten to some future there yet. And this keeps us unhappy and flustered and rushed or overworked until we are there. Also, accomplishments are often dependent on many factors that are outside of our control. Like what if you're paralyzed or the markets crash or there's a political climate that interferes with your goals? Are you then worthless? Do you evaluate yourself as being bad? No, of course not. Your inherent worth is not dependent on what you accomplish. I truly believe that we're all inherently worthwhile as beautiful, divine souls. If you evaluate your worth dependent on your achievement, then you're always left wondering whether you're good enough, and it's putting your worthiness outside of your control. Making your worth depend on your achievement is also closely related to perfectionism. So perfectionism says that the goal is to eliminate flaws. Not only is this impossible, but it's also not helpful. And that's because trying to eliminate all mistakes prevents us from growth. If mistakes are the problem or failure is feared, then no one would innovate, no one would try a new business or create something new. Perfectionism eliminates opportunity because it avoids risk. And then when we avoid risk, we tend to feel pretty miserable because we miss out on relationships, success, or opportunities. So instead of using appearance, popularity, comparison, or achievement as our way to decide if we are worthwhile or if our life is on the path we want it to be on, I do believe that there is one source of self-esteem that will not let us down. One way to evaluate ourselves and our path to determine if we're lining our life up with the life we want it to be. And this is values and integrity to our values. A value is an attribute that we deem valuable. So these are characteristics like kindness, hardworking, or creative. We can determine which values matter most to us, and then we can choose to bring our actions in line with our values at any time. Lowell Bunyan said, "True self-esteem comes when we keep the promises that we make to ourselves, when we come to trust that we're going to act the way that we believe we should." When we work toward being the kind of person that we value, we focus on the process of striving. We work on becoming a little bit better each day, and we pay attention to the process of growth instead of some imaginary perfection. And when we do that, we have an internal locus of control. I can choose whether I'm going to act on my values or not today. And when I do, I can evaluate myself. I can esteem myself as being on the right path. I can feel a self of accomplishment. And when I don't act on my values, I can always reorient toward them. So if I make a mistake, maybe I'm not kind or I yell at my kids, I can remind myself my value is kindness. And I'm going to return toward trying to be more kind tomorrow. Values are not goals. Goals are something that's concrete and measurable, and you know when you've arrived. Values, on the other hand, are a direction you're working in. So if I have the goal to get married, underneath that is the value to have close connections, to love people, or to build up a support system. If I live these values, I may be likely to get married. But if I don't, I'll still feel content and I'll know that I've lived a good life because I'm focusing on my values of being connected with people. If all I focus on is getting married, then my approach may be rushed or self-centered, and I may actually struggle to reach my goals. When we bring our actions in line with the character that we value, we feel peace, contentment, and personal fulfillment. When our actions don't line up with our values, we feel guilty, uncomfortable, angry, depressed. We may blame others or feel worthless. Living your values is not about being perfect or never messing up. It's about determining that your goal is progress, and when you're trying to learn and grow, you can feel good about yourself. When we decide that values are going to be our source of self-evaluation, then we're also deciding that we can choose to act in line with what's valuable to us and what makes us feel like we're on the right path with our life. I also believe the ultimate source of love and light is a higher power, and our connection to God and the divine within us is our ultimate source of worth. I've found that when I reach out to God and ask Him how He feels about me, I can often sense a deeper truth and love than anything going on inside of my head. And when we connect to a higher power, we can be filled with that source of compassion and a feeling of love and forgiveness. And that source of love, it enables us to extend gentleness, even towards ourselves and our own mistakes and flaws and weaknesses. I made a video on self-compassion, so if you'd like to learn more about that as a psychological, not religious practice, you can check out that video as well. And at this point, I've got to end with the brilliant Marianne Williamson quote. Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. I hope that as you move forward in love and growth, that you carefully choose to align your life with your values, and that you evaluate yourself based on your integrity to them instead of on perfectionism or popularity or comparison or achievements. Thank you for watching, and please share this video because someone out there needs to hear this. Take care. This podcast was adapted from a YouTube video from my YouTube channel, Therapy in a Nutshell. So if you'd like to see more of my videos, check that out and go subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.therapynutshell.com. Thank you for listening and take care.